Hi, everyone. This is Helena.
And this is Philip.
And you're listening to an exclusive series on growth of the Where Boundaries to Selves podcast, a podcast on transformation so that we get better at unleashing what makes us unique, stand in our power, and take our roles in business and society to the next level and make this world a better place. Today, we're talking about mental health. Life and your career. And I think our careers are really great places to dissect mental health because we spend the majority of our waking time working. And many of us have mental health issues because of our relationship to work. For the majority of my 20s, I struggled with extreme stress and those times where I was exposed to constant change and stress at work. So I think this episode, speaking for myself, is really for my younger self, and I'm really excited about it.
Great intro, Helena. Talking about stress and mental health, while you were doing this intro, my baby, 3 months old now in the background, started crying. So let's see if she's on the podcast. Now I got this alert here on my phone that she's in the seat in the car. So my stress is definitely up right now, because this is exactly what happens when you want to have a quiet environment to record this. But yeah, thanks for opening up already. I think it's a really important topic. I feel you. I think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves. We work a lot. Many people define themselves based on their work.
I think that's the key right there. There are a lot of us that do define our self-worth and our identity and who we are through our work. And I think that's changing right now. I think there's so much uncertainty in the world, and there's so much complexity that suddenly, you know, what our work requires of us is not so straightforward anymore. And our identities are constantly changing. And so it's like, how do you work through that? How does that become your new identity? The person who can grow, the person who can evolve. If all you were doing was kind of the same type of job for 10 years with the same company.
Or 45. Like that's talking European measures here.
Yeah, European measures, exactly. And we were raised by that mentality, 100%. Right? A good job, and as you were saying before, like a good job, not being unemployed, like that's the way to go. As much safety as possible. And so I don't think we have been really taught the skills, the strategies, the mindsets that are required to deal with ongoing change. And then suddenly we're stressed out.
Yeah. You know what I think about this? There was this concept of work-life balance versus what I call a work-life blend. And we were raised in that world where you work from the morning until the afternoon, and then your personal life begins. And then our generation, and I think with even younger people, this is even crazier now, these two things, they blend. So we want to work on something, and we want to do something from Monday to Friday from 8 to 4 that fits with our own personality. And we want to get off work and go to an event or join a group of people. And we don't want to feel a big difference between what we did for the day and what we do in the evening. The problem I think we had, especially in our early years as the generation that is now, let's say 25 to 35 or 40 years old, is we hit the work market and it was dominated by people who absolutely did not live like that for their whole career. And I think that causes stress, because we were required to just come in, do the work, leave, come in, do the work, leave, and not ask for more than money. And I think the big change that is happening and that is causing stress right now is this friction between generations in the workplace.
Yeah, I love that you summarized with that, because I was just going to say there's the type of person that wants to come in and do whatever is required and leverage their expertise. And then there's different types of people that come in and they have different expectations towards the workplace. And there's a clash in what's needed. And certain leaders that can't give that are not interested in building that personal connection to younger people that is required to have the intimacy to be able to open up and actually feel like you're supported during your growth journey.
Good point.
Like that requires a certain level of relationship. You can't just be like, oh, now we have, instead of performance evaluation, we have I don't know, call it what you want, but we talk about your learnings, but there's no existing relationship there. Like, it's so shallow. You just say, well, I think I would like to, you know, you're absolutely empty because there's no trust. Mm-hmm. And that's why trust is such a huge topic right now, is because you need that trust to be able to open up and share and work through certain struggles together. I'm reading this book by Adam Grant, Hidden Potential. And he says, we have to start focusing more on aspiration, not ambition. And aspiration is about who's the person you want to become. And ambition is, so it's focus on the path and how you're journeying down that path instead of the peaks you want to climb. Because the peaks in themselves are not very interesting. You get there and then it's like, okay, great. I just climbed this mountain in Switzerland, but all the mountaineers that I got to know, now they're doing Kilimanjaro. I'm still not worth of anything. And you don't acknowledge the process and your focus is just comparison. And so it's like, who do you aspire to be? And who are the people that can help you get there? Learn how to build relationships and focus on your personal growth is what I have to say, is because that is what you truly have under control, I feel, you know, with mental health. Like, of course, if you grew up in an abusive household, like, then there's stuff that you may have to work through with a therapist. But then there's also stuff that you can get curious about yourself, and you can develop a better self of awareness on what's triggering you and why it's triggering you, and go into that and unpack your relationship with yourself at work. What is the meaning of work as well? Yeah. You know,
I love that point, especially the point where you said it's not about the peak, it's really about the journey. And I think we can flag this as the first growth takeaway and maybe talk about this a little bit more, because I had that switch in my head a couple months ago where I always thought I want to become a GM, a CEO, maybe a founder. And I always thought of the point of being the person. Like, just imagine you say, I want to sell a company. Like, that little moment, if you look at the journey that takes you there, it is like a 10-year journey maybe. And then there's a moment, let's be honest, of 3 hours. You sign the papers and the company is sold. And you might make $50 million. If you just focus on that one peak, but then the 10 years that get you there, you're not mindful and in the moment, I think that creates the mental stress, because you define success based on the peak and not on the journey. And that shift of just saying, okay, I'm going to enjoy the ride to wherever it goes. To make it even more simple, if you're going on a hike, let's say you go to Yosemite National Park and you hike for 5 hours. Of course, you do the hike for the view at the end and for the destination. But what would you say? What is more beautiful? Is it the 5 hours that get you there, where you have conversations with your friends and you see the waterfalls and you're struggling and then you take a break and then you keep going? Or is it the 5 minutes that you're at the peak? What's your opinion?
I mean, obviously the path,
right?
Yeah.
That's the fun piece. Oh, I'm getting goosebumps. This is a good moment. If we can switch to like enjoying the road, enjoying the ride, mm-hmm. and just focusing on activity that brings us closer to where we want to be, and then measure the activity and not the destination, mm-hmm. I think we can have a more mindful and a happier life altogether.
I love what you're saying. And in that moment, if I'm thinking of my 20-something year old who's in that space, and you're just saying, like, enjoy the ride, it's fine, which is like literally impossible. You're like, okay, you can say that. You have a somewhat established career, now you get it, you know, like, you have some experience, like, applying for a job is not, if I lose this job or if I'm not good, I still, you know, there's like real limitations in a sense that you experience. And so I think a piece of advice that I would give that person, my younger self, going through all of that, is that to trust the process and to try to quiet the noises and the voices that we've so readily adopted. Like, if you think about going to university, they kind of indoctrinate you with, you come from this university, from this type of school, you're going to be, this is the kind of job you're going to go. We produce these kind of alumni, they're CEOs here, they're this, this, this. You're basically the top of the notch and you're going to be amazing.
They will on you.
And you're gonna, exactly, they put a label on you. And so basically that's the thing you measure yourself against. Like, oh, if I'm not that, basically nothing is worth anything. And so your entire life, you're running after this thing that you've been told is the right thing, right? And then even within companies, they put you in the talent program, you know, or a CEO program. And I think these things are necessary. Don't get me wrong. I think that level of a little bit of, hey, believe in yourself and this is what we produce. And you know, it's a great, and it's a great school. It's a great university. Like, all of that is great. But I think it also has to be balanced with how you get there is as important. The journey, the work on yourself, you know, that is as important. Like, don't stress so much on that end goal. Focus on the here and now and what you're absorbing, and don't compare yourself. Shut those noises out and focus on what's the here and now. I had Nick Craig on the podcast, and he wrote a book called Leading with Purpose. And the foreword was written by Brené Brown. And he's worked with CEO of Ben & Jerry. He's worked with Lego Group. He's worked with a bunch of the Swiss banks. He was saying that it actually doesn't matter what job you're in. You can always lead with purpose and experience a more fulfilled life. And the older you get, the more you realize it's not about the status, but it's really from how authentic can you live your life. And the way he discerns and makes decisions and chooses jobs, for example, is by asking himself, what excites me and also scares me a little bit? Go there.
Yeah. Yeah. I would love to talk about that topic in a couple of minutes. Like, I recently read this book, Finite and Infinite Games. It was recommended to me by a good friend here in the Bay. And we create those systems and those games everywhere because they give us the feeling of stability. It starts when we're very young, right? You are at a birthday party and there's a game and there's one winner. You go into sports and there's this, it's always small, finite games. And then you get into school and the best 10%, they make it to the good high school in Germany. And then you want to get into that university. And then if you are in one company, yes, correct, there is one CEO program. And then at the end of the road, there is one CEO. Those are all finite games. They are clean competition and there has to be winner and loser. As soon as human beings, as we open ourselves up, the world is infinite. Like, as soon as you open these rules, there are infinite opportunities. There are infinite growth journeys. And for me, realizing that the world is an infinite playground and I can choose which finite games I want to play when and where. And then look at the skill sets that I need to join the finite games that have the highest return on invest, which is return on time. That for me did a major change in my mental health to say, okay, I want to be a player that is valuable in as many games as possible. And then I choose the finite games for certain amounts of time that I want to be playing in. Because no matter how big the finite game that you're in right now, the longer you play, the harder it gets.
So what I hear you say in terms of mental health, because I think those constructs is exactly what gives us anxiety, is like the comparison, because there is just one CEO at the end of the game, right? There's just one winner. And so you're basically never good enough if you're not that person, which leaves everyone except for that one person the loser.
Everyone loses, but so one person.
Exactly. And even that person is not happy, right? Because they're looking at another CEO.
Yeah, and they're looking and they're at the peak. Well, we just talked about it. Yeah.
Exactly. And so what I hear you say is that fundamental shift in mindset of play the infinite game, not the finite game. And I think what I was trying to say was capture, like understand when you're tapping into those structures and the mindset and the voice that is making you focus on that finite game.
Yes.
So it's really about that infinite game. And I think so too. It doesn't matter whether you're in those finite structures, like understanding the center and the authenticity from which you can operate from, where you feel most empowered, is crucial. And he says, your purpose, you can't be fired from your purpose. It's not a task. It's not a mandate. It's not a job. It's what makes you unique. Yeah. If you would ask your colleagues, if 3 months after you'd left a position, for example, and you would ask them, what do you miss about, you know, and they hired someone who has an equivalent background, you know, same skill sets, same education, what's the one thing that they would miss? That's your purpose. That's what makes you unique. That's what you bring to the table. Yeah. And that, it really doesn't matter what position you're in, because you can always bring that uniqueness to the table. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really interesting, because then I was like, I was asking him on the podcast, I was like, I have three different options. I don't really know which to shoot myself into. And he says, it doesn't matter. And so what I am, you know, connecting that with what you're saying at a meta level is like, the finite games never matter. You're always going to be playing some sort. If you learn how to tap into how to lead yourself from a place of authenticity, how to drop those noises, and how to make your here and now more meaningful, then that is playing the infinite game.
Love it. Nothing to add on that point from my side. Good. Really good one. Really good one. I think my assumption is a human being cannot be happy and fully like healthy on the mental side in the comfort zone. My assumption, yeah. Hypothesis is if you want to be truly happy, you have to be outside of the comfort zone. And what I want to discuss with you is, first, if you agree, and then second, how do you find the sweet spot? How far outside of the comfort zone you want to be? Because I've been in both worlds. I've been in the comfort zone, and I put myself so far out of the comfort zone that I was so mentally, effed up. What's your take on the hypothesis? Maybe we'll find a point to disagree today. I don't know.
Well, I think what I learned yesterday on the podcast about purpose is that
you have an unfair advantage today. You had a great podcast yesterday. I was just I was just grinding all week.
Sorry, the perks of being unemployed.
Maybe we should do this on a Monday when I had all my weekend reads and everything.
Oh my god, that could be a good switch. Honestly,
Monday nights or something.
Yeah, I mean, I'm open. Honestly, I'm open.
I don't think my Monday nights are dedicated to family right now.
Hello, baby. Yeah, I get that. Do I disagree or agree? I think. So again, what I was learning from Nick Craig is that purpose is individual to every person. And he says there's some people who don't need to constantly overcome fear or push themselves to feel a sense of purpose. And he says, those are the people running the wellness centers. He says, they're here and they're here to heal us and they create nurturing environments and that's what they do. He says, and others of us, they constantly need to be at their edge in order to experience fulfillment. And that
I feel alive only when I push the edge.
Yeah.
I don't feel alive otherwise.
Me too. Yeah, me too. I mean, I used to get frustrated every time I felt somewhat of certainty in my life, in my job, then I would just constantly throw myself into new waters. And I was just like, why am I doing this all the time? Like, I'm so stressed out when I go into these new waters. And so I think it's like you, I'm like you, where my growth edge is definitely where I find the most satisfaction. And in terms of mental health, I think the structures I've had to give myself is to slow down. When you talk about how do you manage that balance between, you know, comfort zone and stretching and leaving your comfort zone, ironically for me, it's slow down a little bit because I'm extremely impatient. And so I'm really impatient with myself. And I think when you're growing and you're learning, it's not a straightforward process. And if you're impatient with yourself, you're not being nice to yourself as you learn. And it's like, and so then I don't look forward to stretching myself because it's extremely stressful. And so I have to keep reminding myself, oh, we're learning now. It's okay. It's going to be confusing. You're not going to be mastering this right now. Don't get mad. We're going to fall on our nose a few times. And the key is to pivot. And you're good at pivoting. So learn, absorb. And then another thing I want to add, actually, in this process, and I learned from my dad, I was taking a walk with him. And he said, you know, when things are chaotic, you kind of have to be comfortable with sitting in limbo for a little bit. And I was like, I do not do that very well. And he says, you have to, because people are so used to jumping straight to solutions and they haven't even fully processed the problem. But if you can sit in limbo and let the problem marinate, then naturally certain solutions and your intuition will start speaking to you. But he said, it's important. He said, but it's also why I'm usually always kind of stressed against time, because if you let that limbo happen, then when you have the solution, you need to really kick in the gear and start working towards it, right? But he said, for him, really understanding a problem to be solved and marinating in that and being okay with the discomforts of hanging in limbo, even when people are knocking at your door asking you for a solution, is important. And I thought that was really wise.
I love it. This is my takeaway for the day, because I'm not good at it. It's a great concept. Did he also tell you how? Because to say that is one thing. And understanding it is the second good step. I'm uncomfortable when things are in limbo, when multiple things are moving slowly, but there's not like one thing to lock in on and execute. Any advice?
I mean, he's just naturally more patient than me and he's a good listener. And so what he does is he'll just listen and absorb and let it marinate. And then he just starts to ponder. And then he says, then you have to start just problem solving and seeing what actually works, testing.
So becoming more patient.
Yeah.
Okay. I might ask ChatGPT afterwards, how do I get more patient? Because I have to learn on it. And I think we really found something to disagree on today.
Really?
Yes. You just said that some people don't have to always grow. Yeah. And I agree with that on the level that you were talking about, which was corporate and like work. But in my opinion, everyone has these three layers, which is work, health, sports, and social. And I'm going deeper into my hypothesis now is I don't know a single person that is truly happy when all of these three are fully stagnant and in the comfort zone. Those people, they're not shining. I don't see purpose in life. If, like, my hypothesis is one of those three levels, whether it is your kid is now going to college or you have a child, first child, or if everything is stagnant, but you're trying out this new diet and you're losing 10 pounds, right? Motion, being outside of the comfort zone, and growth in one of those levels, in my opinion, is absolutely required to have a happy and purposeful life. And anyone who is comfortable in all of those three and not moving, I didn't find a fully happy person.
I think I would agree, honestly. I mean, this is what he told me, right? And so it was like, okay. But I, you know, if you look at, I've also gotten another opinion on the podcast, which was like, if you look at nature, nature is constantly moving. It's constantly transforming. It's constantly growing. Now, whether that growth is good or bad, destructive or not, what, you know, that's to be debated. But it's constantly evolving. And I think if you're not evolving, you are dying, essentially. Like, because life is movement. I do think so as well. So,
and we are, I think maybe just we are part of nature, right? We are made from water and cells, and a couple million years ago that turned into something, that turned into something, and then somehow we became humans. And yeah, it's grow or die. Like, in my opinion, you cannot keep your fitness. You get fitter or you get the opposite, one of both. You gain weight or you lose weight. Every single day there's movement in all those worlds. You either get smarter if you study, let's take AI. If you study every day on AI, you get smarter. If you don't study, content on AI increases. There's progress in AI, so you get more stupid in AI. If you think if you're doing nothing, that everything stays the same, it's, in my opinion, it's the opposite. If you're not doing anything, you're going down.
So what's something, last question, what's something that you've had to learn about mental health as you grow? What's the one thing you underestimated?
Oh, the one thing? The 10 things.
Okay. Give it to me.
I would say the major thing is that I constantly put myself so far out of my comfort zone that every now and then I struggle with that. Like the last 5 or 6 years, because of my impatience, I pushed so hard to grow. And sometimes when it's like, it's a full week at work, I'm having a lot of responsibility in my day job, and I have a family, and I'm doubling down on my YouTube channel. Like, I want to be doing all that. I love it. But then sometimes I feel like my mental health struggles because I put too many things on my plate and I expect results too fast. So I would say my core learning is, and you said it yourself, sometimes slow down and reduce the things that I want to grow in and make the right choices. The best example was when I moved to California. I had all these opportunities. I wanted to run a marathon. The first thing I did is I started practicing golf, tennis, and I started marathon training. Then I also wanted to get super connected in Silicon Valley. I also just took over a VP role, so my day-to-day job was a huge stretch for me. It was completely different to anything I did before. And we wanted to build a family. So I pretty much put myself outside of my comfort zone in every single level of my life at the same time. And my core learning out of these first 6 years in my career is that you have to make the right choices where to grow, when to make it as well. Accept that in one of those levels, there can be a time of stagnation in order to be mentally healthy. That's for me, it's a very personal takeaway, because we had this before. Growth makes me happy. So I need growth, but I have to make the right choices. Like, this is a field where I grow in the next 6 months, and I'm focusing on this. Right now, it's having a newborn at home. I have to accept that that is taking up a lot of time, energy, sleep. So I cannot get even better in tennis. I cannot go to 5 networking events a week and then tell myself, you might remember this list that I have that I go through every week. We talked about this on the first podcast. And that list is just not realistic anymore the way it was before. And then looking at it every Sunday for the first weeks, it was like, well, I didn't do yoga 5 times. I didn't play tennis 3 times. I didn't work out 5 times. I didn't go to 5 networking events. And that did lead to bad mental health in my situation. So adapting my personal ambitions to what is more realistic in the current life situation, that helps me to be way more happy with my life and with myself.
That's so interesting. I think the one thing that I underestimated is the power of believing in yourself. Like, that's something that imposter, but also just the fundamental strength that you see within yourself, like to be able to push yourself into that position, for example, that you have that is stretching you so much. Like, so many women would never do that. You know, they would not try to put themselves in a position where they could feel like they could fail, because that's what they're focusing on, is like where they're not adequate enough, where they're not good enough, you know, where they're not perfect enough. And so I think for me is really coming to the conclusion that perfectionism is a huge hindrance, and self-criticism is a huge hindrance in your personal belief of what you're capable of. And if you're seeing the thing that fears you, not as something that is informing you of what you're not good enough about, but it's actually something where you can grow into and to expect to make mistakes, but to see the character, you're forming a character that can deal with that, the resilience, and really leaning into that, you know, and letting that form how strong you believe in yourself, then that's something that I'm learning has had a lot to do with mental health, is stop trying to enter into meetings, into conversations, and buying into everyone telling you that you're, you know, too young, or that you have a wrong background, or that you this. Like, no, don't listen to that. Believe in yourself, you know. And of course, a lot of it has to do with working through those situations and learning from them, and in order to trust yourself. But that's been the biggest mental health stress contributor for me, is having that self-confidence and working through my own limitations and being like, no, I will go where and do the thing that scares me to prove myself that I've got it in me.
And then when you do that, and what is usually the result?
You can do bigger.
Yeah.
You can jump bigger, and
the feeling of reward afterwards is incredible, right?
Mm-hmm. Unless you're just looking at what you didn't accomplish. There's always two ways of looking at it, but I'm telling you, that is such a female thing, you know? And I'm saying, like, you have two wolves on your shoulder, you know, the negative, the self-loathing, the shame, the guilt, and then the one that is like inspired and excited and confident. And it's like, which one do you feed? Mm-hmm. The one you feed gets bigger. Mm-hmm. And so being conscious about that and how it influences you is key and is huge to me in my life.
Very, very good point. In my mental health journey. I love it. Especially, when you talk about these women-specific topics, I got to be honest, from an outside perspective, also with my wife, I don't observe them. But it's so interesting to hear about it, because it's not something that... as a male, I would have thought of, to be honest.
Mm. I mean, how could you?
Yeah,
we all live through our lens, right?
Yeah.
But I appreciate you listening and trying to understand. So that's major.
Yeah.
Because we all have our own struggles.
I hope all the listeners, I hope that created a lot of value for everyone listening today. I had a lot of fun again.
Me too.
These conversations always give me a fresh perspective on my personal life, on people in my environment, on goals, the future. So I hope everyone else enjoyed it as well, and I can't wait for the next
thanks
one.
Everyone me too. I'm excited. And also, guys, thanks for tuning in. If you guys have any comments or topics that you would like for us to address, shoot us a message, reach out to us on LinkedIn, on Instagram. If you have specific topics that you would find interesting for us to discuss, would love to hear you. And for now, thanks so much. And we'll be talking to you soon. And we'll see you next time.
We will be back.